Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, let's get right to it. Big news down in Jupiter, Florida today. Oliver Marmol, Cardinals manager, has been extended through 2028 with a club option for 2029. Good to be with you. Producer Drew Young, I'm Tom Ackerman. Let's head down to Jupiter now and hear this press conference, starting with the Cardinals head of communications, Brian Bartow.
Well, good morning. March 1st, 26 short days on opening day at Busch Stadium. Sounds pretty good. Well, to get us started, get the month underway, get the day underway, we'll turn over to Cardinals Chairman, Mr. Bill DeWitt Jr., for a special announcement on behalf of the ball club.
Thanks, Brian. I'm very pleased to announce that Ollie has agreed to a two-year contract extension with a club option for 2029. This is Ollie's 20th season as a Cardinal, and we are very excited that he will continue in this role. Congratulations to Ollie, and thanks for all your good work. Thank you.
It's time to turn over to Cardinals President of Baseball Ops, Chaim Bloom.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for being with us, both our good friends in the press, our staff, our players. Just to say a few words about today and about Ollie. Obviously, over the past couple of years, the uniqueness of my roles here and the progression of this seat has given me a chance to get to know Ollie before working with him in this capacity, and then obviously now working with him for a few months. And you know, as Bill mentioned, this is Ollie's 20th season as a Cardinal. He understands what makes this organization special. He is a Cardinal through and through, and he understands that a part of what makes this organization great is competing relentlessly and always pushing to move forward and to set new standards. And the passion with which he goes after that is energizing and fun to be around every day. He's invested in what we're doing to get from where we are to where we want to go, invested in the progress of this core that we are building, and also invested in making everybody around him better and in being willing to push and challenge himself to grow and evolve. And in that respect, exemplifying exactly what we need to be about and exactly what we want everybody in this organization to do. So I'm very pleased to be able to announce this today. Pleased to continue to work with Ollie. Happy that Ollie and his family, Amber and their girls, are going to remain a part of the Cardinals family. And, you know, thankful to everybody here who has also invested in Ollie and, you know, made this day something that we can celebrate. So congrats, and excited to keep working with you, buddy.
Appreciate it. I definitely want to start off by thanking you, Bill and Haim, for the trust. I mean, I don't take that lightly. Yes, it's 20 years, but this one was unique, and it, the foundation of it truly is trust. I think that word gets thrown around quite a bit in today's world, but all good relationships are based off of it. Good decisions are based off of it. And I'm glad I had the last couple years to start to build that with Haim in order to get to this point. Because at the end of the day, like, when there's transition like this, alignment matters a lot. And I can say with 100% certainty, there's a ton of trust and alignment in what we're doing. There's alignment in how we see the game. There's alignment in how we view the staff and just people and process. And that's the part that gets me excited, man. I do want to take a second. I spoke to the staff earlier before coming out here, but you guys are awesome, and you make this fun. 162 is an absolute grind, and I enjoyed doing this with this group, so thank you. A big part of me wanting to stay here and do this is sitting in this room, and I appreciate you guys, the players, being here, and I'm speaking to you. Man, like, being able to grow with you is what fires me up. Seeing some of you guys, the young guys, actually stepping into leadership roles and owning that clubhouse and taking that next step in your career and being able to do it together. Like, I want to grow with you and I want to win with you, and we'll do that together. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to. So I appreciate you being in the room. And then family, Amber and the girls, like, I appreciate you guys continuing to be by my side through this whole thing. Twitter is ruthless, and you guys never waver, man. You guys are awesome at just understanding the sacrifices that come with this. So I just want to take a moment and thank you guys. The girls have probably learned some words along the ways we could have held off on, but thank you guys. Okay. But to this room, to ownership, to Haim, you guys are awesome. I'm looking forward to what's next, so thank you very much.
That's Ollie Marmol, opening statement today, along with Chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. and President of Baseball Operations Haim Bloom. 2-year contract extension begins next year, runs through 2028. There is a club option for 2029. He had his family, his team in the room as well. A lot of the players and staff came in to attend that press conference down in Jupiter. Thanks to Matt Pauley for feeding us the audio. When we come back, we'll visit with Bernie Miklas, get his reaction to this contract extension for the Cardinals manager. Back in a moment, sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, let's bring in Bernie Miklas for this discussion on Ollie Marmol's contract extension. The big dog joins us, as always, on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Glad we brought you in a little early to line up with this. KMOX has been all over this today. 2-year contract extension through 28. How are you, Bern?
I'm doing good. And, you know, totally expected. No surprise to people that were paying attention. You could tell that Ollie Marmol and Haim Bloom had formed a really, really strong bond. For people who don't know, I've reported this multiple times. The DeWitts went to Haim Bloom and they said, look, you know, you're taking this thing over and you deserve to bring in whoever you feel you have to bring in. That includes the manager. And Haim Bloom said, oh, no. I've been observing him for 2 years and it's I'm really impressed with what he's been able to squeeze out of a team that's got some serious challenges and we work well together. No, I want to keep Ollie. So I think there's a lot here. I don't have time today with you to talk about it because you don't have enough time. But you know, Ali Marmol, given the circumstances that he's been put in, has actually done a good job. Now, I'm not claiming he's done a perfect job. I've criticized Ali. But if you look at the decline, the collapse of the farm system, how they were not producing enough major league starting pitching, a lot of their position players came to the major leagues as rookies or young players and weren't really properly taught in the minor leagues. And you also had a situation where he became the manager at a time where the Cardinals were about to start to slash payroll. And he was working for John Mozeliak. And my point is not to take cheap shots at John Mozeliak, but we all knew that the Cardinals really started to unravel in Mo's, you know, final seasons. So as I've always, I'm always confused by people who somehow believe this was Ali Marmol's fault. I mean, He took over at a time that was not a really good time, to put it mildly, not a good time to be managing the St. Louis Cardinals. And as I've said so many times, and it's always ignored, you look at the first 4 years of Tony La Russa as the manager of the Cardinals, and you compare it to Ali Marmol's first 4 years as the manager of the Cardinals. Ali Marmol has more wins in his first 4 years than Tony had in his first 4 years. They both made the playoffs the same amount of times, won, and they both had two losing seasons. But out there in social media land, of course, somehow it's been concluded among a lot of people that Ali Marmol's terrible and he's everything that's wrong with the Cardinals. I don't get it. The facts say otherwise, actually.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and rip on the Cardinal fan base, because I know that there are a lot of different kinds of Cardinals fans. There are ones who are vocal on social media. There are some who understand this. There are some who don't understand this and are good people. I mean, I have had a lot of my friends text me and be like, why are they doing this? So let me just say what you just said in a slightly different way. Chaim Bloom could have fired Ali Marmol if he wanted to. Okay.
Of course.
And John Mozeliak hired Ali. As you just said, these are two separate things. Chaim saw something, and there is an alignment and trust. Those are the words you're seeing, hearing thrown around. You're going to hear those a lot, but it's absolutely true. There is something. This is a Chaim Bloom's decision. Then you're going to have to trust it. That there's something in Ali Marmol that he sees in this development stage, because Bernie, this is a club option for 29. So you're looking at a two-year, probably, project here, developing this team, and there is no better fit. Bernie, he could have brought in anybody he wanted to. I mean, and you don't think Chaim Bloom knows pretty much everybody in this game today? Period. End of story.
Exactly. And I think it says a lot about Chaim Bloom's personal character, because when he took the job, at the time that he took the job in advance, you know, where he was sort of the president of baseball operations in waiting, let's be perfectly honest here. He wasn't well known in St. Louis, and I don't expect that he would have been well known in St. Louis. I mean, he ran teams in the American League. He just wasn't on the St. Louis radar. So when he got the job as like the president of baseball operations in waiting, you know, there was a kind of like, well, I'm not, I need to find out more about this guy type thing. We don't know him. And again, I understand that totally. But, you know, there was a lot of talk. And listen, I did some videos at STL Sports Central, because I'll be totally honest here. I didn't think that Ali Marmol would survive, because I just assumed the way it works in this game is a new guy, a new boss comes in, and he's going to want to bring in his own guy, or he's going to want to make a clean break and start fresh. And so I was out there, and I would do the same thing all over again, because what I knew at the time, there was highly questioned whether Ali Marmol would survive. So you start looking at, well, would they ever think about Albert Pujols? Would they ever think about Yadier Molina? Or would Chaim Bloom hire his own guy, but it's maybe a manager or a young guy that's about to become a manager that no one's ever heard of? So I was even entertaining the possibilities. Okay, well, who could succeed Ali Marmol? And the fact that, you know, he could have scored points with probably the DeWitts, and he certainly could have scored points with a lot of Cardinals fans, I don't know how many, by either picking, you know, Pujols and Molina or Molina, because it would have been something that would have, you know, stirred and spurred and sparked ticket sales. It could have been done to boost business in a major way. Well, he didn't do that. And then the fans would have loved him. Oh, first move, he brings in Albert. You know, first move, he brings in Yachty. A first move, he brings them both in together. He didn't do that. And I think it says, it reveals a lot about his character. You know, he did what he thought was absolutely the right thing to do. He didn't make the cheap play to score points and boost his own popularity and also get his owners to like him even more by boosting ticket sales. He went with what he thought was best, entering a rebuild, and the manager to do that. And he had 2 years just about to observe the way Marmol works with young players, the way he ran a bullpen, the way he communicates, what the players feel about him, the veterans, the young guys, whomever. And he just said, you know, this guy's good. I like what I see. Plus they have, you know this, Tom, everybody should know this. If you're an organization like the Cardinals, you haven't had a rebuild in more than 30 years. You know, you better have, going into a major rebuild, a teardown and a rebuild, you better have the leader of the front office and the manager of the team have a very, very tight alliance in terms of what's expected, what has to be done, and okay, here's how we're going to do it. You have to have that kind of working relationship, or the risk factor of the whole thing blowing up and being a failed rebuild, the risk factor would go up if you don't have that alliance or that alignment, I should say, between your front office guy who's running it all and the manager.
I'm going to ask you for Ollie's, the reasons why Ollie is still this manager, like his positives, but I want to ask it in this way, if you can. What does Ollie Marmol need to do? This is a fresh start for him too, quite honestly. So what does he need to do to get this team ready for, let's say, 2028 and making a run? Obviously, he needs the talent, and here comes the pipeline and all that. But what do you expect from him? Let's put some expectations on him here as a manager over the next two seasons.
Well, I can't put a number on it as far as like quantifying by win totals. No, what he's got to do, Ollie Marmol is now, and I believe, and I've said this on KMYX, and I've actually said this to Ollie himself. I said, listen, I think you're in the sweet spot as the manager of the Cardinals, because Ollie has always wanted a chance to manage where you have a Bloom type operation where the Cardinals are totally up to date. They're modernized. Chaim Bloom, as we all know, has dramatically upgraded their player development system and everything they need to do better in that. You know, all the things the Cardinals were missing or didn't have, or they were lacking in comparison to teams they were trying to beat, they now have those things in place. Not that everything's going to kick in right away, but just look at one off season and what that did for the farm system. So Ollie Marmol finally has the front office operation that will give the manager and the coaches a totally fair shot to be at their best and to win as many games as they can, because there'd be no excuses. You don't have the tools. The farm system is outdated. We don't have enough instructors down in the minors, blah, blah, blah. So what Ollie's going to have to do, you know, and Ollie's always been a teaching type of manager. I mean, he comes from the George Kissel line. He's a Cardinal his entire life. He loves to teach and he loves to work with young players. So it's his kind of team too. And that's why he's so compatible for this job. But now that Chaim Bloom has done an incredible job in a short time of filling in everything the Cardinals were missing structurally and organizationally, Ollie Marmol over the next couple of years is going to have to show that he can take what he has now, which he did not have before, and can make these young players better and can move this rebuild onto more positive ground, maybe a little sooner than expected. It's all about getting better, and it's all about getting the most out of the young players that you have now and the young players that are on the way.
Our Bernie Miklas visits are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling and by Stewart American Mortgage. Last week, the U.S. won the gold medal minutes before the show. This time, the Cardinals announced a contract extension for Ollie. If this trend continues, I'm just going to put you in the 10-15 slot. Because I don't mind
being a leadoff hitter. I'm not going to bunt as the leadoff man. Yeah. I'm going to take big swings usually, you know. So that's right.
No, I love the timing of this for our purposes here on the air so we can stay on top of this. Bernie, you're the best. Have an awesome Sunday, my friend.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Appreciate you. Bernie Miklas with us on KMOX to analyze the big news today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, boy, the Billikens roared back, didn't they, in the second half yesterday? What a night that was at Chaffetz Arena. Josh Schertz, head coach of SLU, is with us next on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works? Grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster? I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet nibbles after his untimely end.
This is very strange.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
You know, I think the second half adjustment thing's a little overrated, but I will say that my halftime speeches are maybe the best in the world, and that's what's happening. And my pregame speeches stink. But
oh, my goodness. I love it. Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We welcome in Coach Josh Schertz with his words yesterday after a victory over Duquesne. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. I love that line right there. I think that was well said. You know, everybody always wants to know what you said at halftime, what you say to the team to propel them to victory. The Billikens win the game 91-76. I think... So Troy Robertson and I speculated that this was more tactical, that you found a way to get Robbie Avila free, and he was able to explode in the second half to help your team to victory. Part of it, as you beat Duquesne yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a huge adjustment. I think it was more of, Rob being aggressive, maybe moving Rob around a little more to some off-ball stuff. And then, you know, they went zone, we got him in transition twice. He got loose against the zone twice. And so it was a little bit of a hodgepodge of things. We moved Rob off the ball some, you know, to get him in some screening actions. But, you know, mostly it's just, you know, the game flow and how the game comes. And, you know, it's a long game. I mean, there's ebbs and flows in every game. You know, it's rare. Not saying it's impossible, but rare that, you know, tip to buzzer, you come out and just – you know, play perfectly and dominate the game and cruise along and never challenge. And particularly, you know, when you play really good teams, and Duquesne's a really good team. And they played very, very well, too. Not only are they a good team, they played extremely well. It's imperfect, and you're going to have your moments where you're really, playing at a high level. You're going to get knocked down some, so your ability to kind of absorb that and keep going. But I think, you know, we haven't obviously gotten off to good starts. We have to be better there, and I thought, in terms of Robbie and halftime, I think it was a variety of things all coming together, the zone, losing him in transition some, moving him off the ball some, but all those things together, he was awesome in the second half, obviously.
He was. You talked a lot about physicality in that Dayton game and coming into this game, Duquesne. First of all, they're knocking down threes. That Terrence Ginyard, I could watch him all day. He is some player. He is really, really fun to watch. But they were physical, and so you made a pretty quick move there, getting Paul Otieno involved, not to mention Kellen Thames.
Yeah, I mean, Paul's our most physical guy. You know, Dion's physical. He's just small. You know, Paul has a physicality about him. I knew going in we were going to, you know, we had to get Paul more minutes. I do think the physicality piece has been missing for us. We've not been as good in certain areas. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, we're not the most physical team in the world. You know, Robbie's not a physical guy, you know, really outside of, you know, of Paul and Dion and some when Amari's turned up, you know, it's not the most physical group in the world, but we've played with a lot of toughness, and you don't have to be physical to play with, you know, maximum toughness. And I think we have that across the board. You know, we're not the strongest team. We got a lot of skinnier guys. You know, you look at Kellen, you look at Brady, you know, Ish, and those guys. Trey's obviously small, but we've got to play with some toughness. But Paul brings the physicality and force we needed. And I thought he was terrific last night, but he also was against Santa Clara. The bigger games, where these teams are bringing out size, that Paul Robbie lineup's been really good for us, and they were terrific last night. I thought Paul was, you know, Robbie will get a lot of the headlines, deservedly so, but you can make a case that Paul was the most impactful guy to winning for us last night.
Yeah, he was special last night. What do we make of Amari McCautry sitting for the final 20 minutes of this game?
You know, it's just a game decision. You know, I mean, my job's always to do what I think's best for, you know, us to win that particular game. There's no, you know, no hidden message or that's going to be, you know, the case the rest of the way. But, you know, for last night, I felt like, you know, playing the guys we played gave us the best chance to beat Duquesne. And you know, that could be different. Obviously, every game presents its own, you know, it's his own separate entity. So, you know, it doesn't have any bearing on what's going to happen Wednesday night or moving forward from there. But certainly, we need more guys playing well. We need more guys playing with force. We need more guys dialed into what we're doing defensively, the level of urgency, the level of physicality, the level of detail, the level of effort we have to play with. And we need guys playing to that on an every possession basis. And if they don't, they won't play. It doesn't matter who it is. We've had guys, you know, it may be a little bit more magnified with Amari, but, you know, Robbie's, you know, had to sit down the stretch of games. I don't think Trey came in the last 13 minutes against VCU. I mean, you go down the list. Every guy has had their, you know, Quentin against Davidson. I mean, you could go down the list. Every guy has had their times. They haven't played much, but, and it's not your night every night. But I think Amari will bounce back and be ready to go. And certainly our team is the best version of itself when he's the best version of himself.
I can see that absolutely, and you're absolutely right. There has been a lot of that going on this year, making the decisions. I thought that one of the best plays of the game, actually calls of the game, was from, and he has such a high IQ, and I'm sure Brady knew this, but Ishan Sharma signaling immediately when that ball was rejected, and he went back to retrieve it at midcourt to shoot it because the shot clock was still going. And he drains a near 50-footer. And then if you watch the replay, Sharma is pointing, shoot it. And he lets it go with his dad sitting in the seats. I mean, what an incredible moment that was.
Yeah, it was a huge momentum one. You know, it was a huge momentum shot for us. It was similar to, you know, the one Q made late in the first half. I can't remember what game it was, but to send us into halftime, he drilled one. Maybe it was George Washington, I think it was. And, you know, and so Q sticks that out. That Brady shot was a huge momentum one. You know, 40-34, gets knocked to half court. He gets there and drills a 50-footer half court shot, basically, to cut it back to three and gave us some momentum going to halftime. And, yeah, Ish's intelligence, I've said many times, you know, he's he's in that Robbie realm, which is, you know, there's not many guys. I've coached 28 years now. You know, not many guys that I've coached, not 10 for sure, that are in that realm of, you know, basketball IQ, but Ish is certainly very much there. And I think Brady, obviously, super intelligent guy as well. They both knew, but that was a really heady play, and it wound up, you know, obviously paying, you know, in that game was a huge part of, I think, giving us some momentum back there late in the half.
Q had a nice game, didn't he?
Terrific, you know, terrific to play 33 minutes. I thought he got downhill, you know, he got to line 10 times, you know, 17 points. Didn't turn the ball over in 33 minutes, which I thought, you know, was really good. His defense was solid. You know, he's like everybody, you know, it's you know, they're learning, and when we're still learning, you know, you have 10 new guys on this team, and you know, Q's come from two situations. You know, he's never been in this. You know, he won 10 games his first 2 years of college combined, you know, five each year. So, you know, he's never been in these circumstances playing meaningful games late. He's really adjusting and acclimating. I thought he was terrific last night. You know, his defense was really good. He took great care of the ball, didn't turn it over. I had to play 33 minutes because of some of the other stuff. And I thought he was awesome. He and Paul were probably underratedly, you know, two huge cogs outside of Robbie in terms of where we were able to get to.
Really, really fun game. And now you sit here at 26-3. You have more league wins than the school has ever had in a conference season. You're 14-2. You still have work to do to lock up the regular season title. And while the buzz will be back about your NCAA tournament chances, based on what I saw a couple of years ago with Indiana State, I don't believe anybody for anything. I mean, I you know, and I don't know how you feel about it, but moving forward, yeah, looking at March, how do you view your situation?
I mean, you know, you just got to concentrate on what's in front of you. You know, like I always say, there's a lot of amateur, you know, bracketologists out there that are, you know, I've heard, you know, we have to win every single game now to get in the tournament. You know, if we lose any of these last two and anything in Pittsburgh, we're out. Somebody said if we lose to Mason and lose in Pittsburgh, we're out. I mean, I don't, you know, I can only read what I read. There's some that are a little better than others. Do I think we're you know, locked into anything yet? No, we gotta, you know, to win the league, we gotta take care of business, you know, on Wednesday night. That's a big thing. We take care of business there. You know, we clinched the number one seed in the regular season championship here in the A-10, which is a obviously a huge accomplishment. If we can do it, we have two chances to do it. Might as well try to take advantage of one at home. In terms of the at-large stuff, you know, most of what I've seen, you know, has us pretty clearly in the field as a 7 or 8 right now. You know, we're going to have a quad 4 at home. We have a quad 2 at George Mason, and we'll likely start Pittsburgh with a quad 2 game. It'll be a top 100 game on a neutral site. So, you know, what I know is, you know, if you go out and you play well and you win the games in front of you, you got a much better chance of getting in than if you lose the games in front of you. And so that's our focus. Play well, stack days, prepare well, try to play our best game of the season, you know, Wednesday night against Loyola, then rinse, repeat, and try to throw our best punch and play as well as we can at George Mason. And then try to get ready and be playing our best basketball heading into the postseason. And, you know, the chips will fall where they may, all the other stuff, you know, the speculation and who, what, how many you got to win. I think when people, you know, they look at it that way, you know, it's the inverse of how I look at it. You know, we talked to the team about this, you know, attacking success versus fearing failure. You know, like let's just try to win the games in front of us and not worry about all the different hypotheticals of, you know, what might happen if we do this, if we do that, if we whatever. You know, we're in great shape. We control our own destiny to win the league. We control our own destiny to make the NCAA tournament as an at-large team. You know, let's just lock in and attack success and try to win as many games as we can between now and the start of the NCAA tournament.
I'm sure that there will be some emotions flowing on Wednesday. It is senior night, and while you have multiple seniors, Robbie is somebody that's been around with you for a long time. I know this, that no matter what, that crowd has been special. That whole scene there is special. Nelly was in the house last night. I mean, that just the whole atmosphere on Wednesday, I anticipate being incredibly emotional throughout the entire building.
Absolutely. It'll be you know, it'll be an emotional night, I think, for everybody. Obviously, Robbie, you know, 4 years together and you know, the last 2 years here. I think last night, you know, that was his 100th win in college, you know, over the last 4 years. You know, he's changed the trajectory of two different programs. When you look at what he did in you know, in Terre Haute at Indiana State, and then coming here to St. Louis, the places that haven't had, you know, such a great history tradition. I think, you know, Indiana State won the regular season. That was the third time in 50 some years. If we're fortunate to do it here, it'd be the third time. You know, his greatness is in a lot of areas, you know, his skill level, but it's in his team orientation. It's how he makes his teammates better. It's how team success matters to him. You know, and I think, hopefully the send-off's great. If we win the league, I would assume he'll be the player of the year in the Atlantic 10, and deservedly so. You know, what he's meant to this team and the way he's led this team. And, you know, and so a big night. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to get past all the emotions and play the game. And that's got to be the focus, is trying to win the game, because we know what's at stake in terms of the league and in terms of the NCAA tournament. And so every game here late's magnified, win or lose. And so our whole focus is on, you know, trying to put our best foot forward and be the Loyola team that we know is going to come out, just like every team we've faced here down the stretch, and play their best game of the season against us. We got to be ready to absorb that and throw our own punches and compete inside the game and try to find a way to win a league title. And if we do, be a great night of celebration for not just our team, but our fans, who, as you said, have been amazing for us. And we're not in the position that we're in to have a chance to do what we have a chance to do Wednesday night without our fans. They, you know, it's not a coincidence. We're 18-0 at home.
Coach, it has been a great experience all around. There is still more to come. Happy March to you. Hope you have a great month.
Best time of year. Can't wait. See you soon, Tom.
See you soon. Josh Schertz with us. Our visit sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more college basketball, but also college hockey, with Jason Coomer, the athletic director at Lindenwood University, back after this. What a great visit with Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens. What a thrilling win last night for SLU, 91-76. Elsewhere in college basketball, Missouri, they are locked in now, I think. 88-64 win at Mississippi State. Biggest SEC win for them all season. And they've now racked up 10 SEC wins. That really should be the magic number for them. They're 20-9 overall as they hammer the Bulldogs 88-64. A trio of local OVC teams get the job done. SIUE beat Eastern Illinois 77-50. Southeast Missouri State topped Tennessee Tech 89-73. And the Lindenwood Lions go to Macomb and beat Western Illinois. Final of that one was 91-69, and with that, we bring in the athletic director at Lindenwood. Jason Coomer joins us on KMOX. How are you, Jason?
Great, Tom. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely great to have you on. How about the Lions? Not only the men, but the women, both playing high-level basketball this season.
You know, yesterday was a good day for us, you know, starting with our women's program, who going into that game was sitting one game back of the regular season championship. And, you know, being able to go up and hand Western Illinois' women's program their first loss at home this season was great for our young women. And we walked out of Macomb with that program with a co-championship in the OVC. So we're pretty excited about that. And we'll enter the tournament with the two seed based on tiebreakers next week in Evansville, Indiana. And then, you know, game two with the men just came out from the very beginning, was firing on all cylinders and was able to get away with a big win there as well. So anytime you can win on the road, it's a great day.
Jason, the OVC just keeps getting better and better, it seems. And you spent 14 years at SIUE, but with the Cougars, with what's happening down at Cape Girardeau with the Redhawks and Brad Korn and you at Lindenwood, that's some grouping right there that has gotten after it.
You know, when you look at the standings, you know, especially in the men's side, and it was just so jumbled the whole season. It was just so competitive as a league throughout the year. And I think going into Evansville at the conference tournament, you're going to see, you know, multiple teams that could walk out of there with the championship next Saturday. So, you know, the competitive level and just how close the teams have gotten and how they've elevated their programs, you know, certainly the schools you just mentioned are in the mix as well. So, you know, on the men's side, you continue to see that increase and the playing ability, and it just makes it a great atmosphere for the fans, and especially on the women's side as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine and 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You look at our program. You know, 3 years ago we had 7 wins, and then last year we, you know, had a 20-win season with Coach Egan, with the one of the largest and the biggest turnarounds in all Division I college basketball on the women's side, and now we're sitting at 24 wins this year. So she's done a phenomenal job with the program. It's going to be an exciting tournament, and we're just ready to get to Evansville.
Oh, we got to call it something, the three of you, you know, the St. Louis Triangle or the we got something like that. I mean, the three teams that that are making things happen right now, that is a lot of fun. I know that. And just Lindenwood in general has sparked St. Charles. You know, the population growth in St. Charles over the years, I'm sure, has been a benefit to you, and you've been a benefit to them.
You know, it's St. Charles is just an amazing community. Everywhere you look, there's something being built. There's a crane somewhere, one of the fastest growing counties in the state of Missouri. And really, you know, that's helped us from an attendance standpoint. We've seen some of our largest crowds in history the last couple of years, especially since we've made this move to Division I. So it's been an exciting time. You know, our fans are passionate. They're coming out. And as we continue to build this, you know, we talk a lot in St. Charles that our goal, now that we're out of the reclassification process and fully eligible for Division I NCAA championships, you know, the goal is 2 words. It's to hang banners. And, you know, that's the mindset we have in our department, and our community is behind us. So it's a, you know, ingredients for a lot of success.
Let's talk about this hockey team. I mean, you've been able to spring some upsets over the last couple of years. Now, the United Collegiate Hockey Cup, you're hosting that March 5th through the 7th, Jason.
Yeah, another big event coming up next week. There's a ton of things going on with Lindenwood. And, you know, I think first you got to look back at where this program came from. You know, in 2022, we elevated men's hockey to Division I status. They were a club team before that, coming off a ACHA Club National Championship. And I think that's really important to look back on because, you know, there's not Division II hockey. So there's Division III hockey and Division I hockey. We were neither of those. We were a club team. And to make that jump straight to Division I, when you look at the last couple of years, you know, I often share, You know, would you have ever thought 5 years ago you would hear, you know, the words or see the headline, Lindenwood knocks off Notre Dame, Lindenwood knocks off Wisconsin? And both of those things happened last year with our men's hockey program. And then you fast forward to this year and you look at what we did when we had Denver in here, who won a national championship 2 years ago and was in the Frozen Four last year. And we knocked off number five Denver at the time. So it's an exciting time. We have the United Collegiate Hockey Cup coming up this coming week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Centene Community Ice Center. Games will be at 3 and 7, and these will be the five independent Division I hockey teams that are not part of a conference currently in Alaska Anchorage, Alaska Fairbanks, Long Island, Stonehill, and, of course, Lindenwood.
That's exciting. And I'll bet that with the United States winning the gold medal, that just raises this hockey community up another level. I mean, you got four St. Louisans out there wearing gold medals, one woman, three men.
You know, it certainly doesn't hurt. You know, the excitement around hockey right now is at an all-time high, or at least an all-time high this year. I mean, hockey's always been, you know, a popular sport, and St. Louis is certainly a hockey town. It was interesting during the gold medal round that weekend. We actually hosted Team USA's national development team. And they played two exhibitions against us out at Centene. We played one game outdoors. We have a rink out there. We have outdoor ice that holds about 2,000. And then our indoor facility holds about 3,000. So you could see the pride in the stands. You know, whether you're a Lindenwood fan or not, you saw USA hockey fans in the facilities both nights. And I'm certainly hopeful that, you know, they'll continue to come out to games, and we'll see them this weekend. And they can wear their USA and root for Lindenwood all in the same place.
Well, you got Maryville across the river bubbling over there. They're starting to build something special. This is really something around here. Before we go, a couple of minutes left with Jason Coomer, the AD at Lindenwood, I want to ask you about one of our own, because Greg Amsinger started his career here, and I thought that was pretty cool that he did an event with Ollie and Heim. We just had the Ollie Marmo contract extension earlier this hour on KMOX. That he did an event with the two of them, and my understanding is Greg has more to come.
You know, Greg's he's a Lindenwood treasure, and he's just been a phenomenal supporter of us. He's never forgotten where he came from and his St. Charles roots, and he did come back, and we hosted that Cardinals event, and we had Ollie out here as well, and it was really just a, you know, what I would say a fireside chat, and it was just very, very well received, and, you know, none of that happens without Greg and his love for Lindenwood, his love for the Cardinals. And, you know, we just, anytime that we have Greg in town, you know, we're just extremely appreciative, and he just continues to support the university as well as the St. Louis community.
How is the Lindenwood football program looking for 2026?
You know, Coach Stewart keeps it rolling, you know, and with this, you know, this day of the transfer portal, you know, we have dabbled in that a little bit, but one of the things that Coach Stugart's really high on is he wants local talent. He wants those best kids in our own backyard coming out to Lindenwood. We have a Division I option for these kids that they can stay home and play high-level football. And, you know, one of the things I'll tell you about Jed is, you know, he certainly, not only is he phenomenal on the field, X's and O's, but, you know, he develops young men, high character, and we do not have a high rate of transfers. You know, we have a very good culture that he's established, and, you know, I think that bodes well for the future. We've continued to improve ever since we got in this Division I landscape, and I don't expect anything different next year. You know, we have a schedule. We'll have SEMO at home, which will be a huge rivalry game and, you know, typically sells very, very well. But I think the future is certainly bright for that program. You know, we don't sneak up on anyone anymore like we did maybe in year one, and that's really a credit to what Coach Stugart's done with building the program.
Good luck with the hockey tournament, the United Collegiate Hockey Cup, March 5th through the 7th at Centene Community Ice Center. Jason Coomer, the AD at Lindenwood, a treat to have you on the air. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Tom. You have a great rest of your day.
You too. We'll preview City's game tonight, the Cardinals. We'll also hear from Chris Blair and Heim Bloom. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. All right, so as you heard there in KMOX News, a little bit more on the Marmol extension, the voice of the chairman of the Cardinals, Bill DeWitt Jr., talking about the reasoning for keeping him and another 2 years after this, plus a club option for 2029. We heard from Ollie himself. We heard from Bill. We heard from Haim in the press conference down in Jupiter. Coming up 11:30, it'll be my conversation with Haim Bloom, and we'll go a little deeper into the relationship between Bloom and Marmol and why now this extension for the Cardinals manager. 2 years ago, they did the exact same thing right before the 24 season, extended him for 2 years, but that was under John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt Jr. Now Haim Bloom is in control of baseball operations, and he has done the exact same thing. He sees something in Ollie, and we're going to continue that conversation with him as Bernie Miklas broke it down for us at 10:15 this morning. If you want to go back on the app, you can listen to that. At 10:30, what a great conversation we had with Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens. They did it again last night, 91-76 over Duquesne. There's a lot going on in college basketball with Missouri thumping Mississippi State, as I said last hour. Looks like they are going to get into the NCAA tournament with that. Illinois is solidly in the tournament. Don't know where they'll be seated or where they're going to be playing yet, but the loss to Michigan shouldn't hurt them too much unless they were expecting to be, you know, playing in St. Louis or a two seed or something like that. I mean, they're going to be knocked down just a peg there. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, you look at this top 25 right now. You have, I think, a solid number one in the country right now in Duke. Duke just put it on Virginia and not only exposed Virginia, who's ranked 11th in the country. They were 25-3 before that game, by the way, and they got absolutely slaughtered yesterday by Duke at Cameron, 77-51. But Duke establishing itself as a real power. Now, Jerry Palm in his last bracket last week had Duke as a one and SLU as an eight playing each other in the second round, if SLU were to get by SMU in the first round. I'll be curious to see what Jerry has in the upcoming brackets tomorrow. You're going to have to go through the powers at some point if you're SLU and you get into this tournament, and Duke would not be pleasant necessarily, but if you want to make your way to the Final Four, you got to beat these big giants. But Duke at number one. The number two team in the country is Arizona, and they looked every bit like that. I mean, they whipped Kansas yesterday, 84-61. That game was over in the first 5 minutes. Arizona was just running up and down the floor doing whatever they wanted, and Kansas is big and athletic and strong, but they could not run with the Arizona Wildcats, who lost at Allen, and they were not going to lose again. The number three team in the country, now you look at Michigan after what they did at Illinois and say, oh my goodness, that could be your national champion. I mean, that team is scary good, and they have all the pieces. They have all the pieces to do it. Iowa State is ranked fourth in the country, and they, after everybody's touting them and elevating them, they lose at home to Texas Tech, 82-73, and it wasn't that close. I mean, Iowa State had to put 44 on the board in the second half just to make it a single-digit game. They were down 16 at halftime at Hilton Coliseum to Texas Tech. Texas Tech starting to put the pieces together. And they beat Iowa State. Texas Tech's ranked 16th in the country. Fifth-ranked team in America is Kelvin Sampson's Houston Cougars, who had lost three in a row before gathering themselves and then destroying Colorado yesterday by 40, 102-62. Colorado isn't very good. Sixth-ranked team in the country. Who do you think that is? UConn. Don't forget about UConn. UConn absolutely could be in the Final Four and could win it all. Really, to me, it comes down to, and UConn had to slip by Seton Hall, but they're fine. I mean, they're tough, still well-coached, built for March. To me, it comes down to Duke, Arizona, Michigan, UConn, with all respect to the rest. I think those are the four that you pay closest attention to and say, who's going to knock them off? But I'll tell you, the team that's surging right now that looks almost unstoppable is Florida. Florida, who lost to Mizzou earlier this year, has not lost a game since January 24th when they fell at home to Auburn. Before that, their previous loss was January 3rd in Columbia against Mizzou. They lost 76-74 in that game. They ripped off five in a row after that. Then they lost to Auburn, and they haven't lost since. They blew through the month of February and wrapped it up with a 111-77 destruction of Arkansas. A ranked Arkansas team, mind you, coached by John Calipari. So watch out for Florida right now as they pick up a win yesterday. They're the seventh-ranked team in the country. New AP Top 25 will come out tomorrow. Purdue is 8, Gonzaga 9, Illinois 10. This will all change. Virginia 11, Nebraska 12, Michigan State. They play at Indiana today. They're 13, Kansas 14. St. John's, who got beat by 30 and then won by about 30. I don't know that I see that ever, the way that they shot as poorly as they did and then shot extremely well as they did in the next game. And those two games in February were at UConn. They lost 72-40. And then against Villanova, they went 89-57. They are ranked 15th in the country. They're an up-and-down team, as you can see. And then the rest of the top 25, SLU is 23 at the moment. They're 26-3, 14-2 overall. So college basketball is going to be fun. They're going to have Arch Madness here. March 5th through the 8th at Enterprise Center. Belmont is the number one seed. Everybody else plays today to figure out where they're going to be seated. There's a log jam at 2 and at 3 and at 4. So we'll see how they all go at Enterprise Center coming up. There's a lot happening, including St. Louis City SC. They play tonight at San Diego. We'll have it for you on Y98 FM with a preview. Here's KMOX's Jen Cease.
St. Louis City SC heads west this weekend for a big test against San Diego FC, a team that loves to control the ball and score goals at home. But head coach Johan de May says don't expect City to change their identity.
We're going to be ourselves. We're going to go there, try to impose our style the same way they're going to try to do that as well. And the game is dynamic, so I know that on 90 minutes there's going to be moments. Are we going to suffer? Yes, probably. Are they going to suffer? I hope so too. So like it's just like making the most when the dynamic is in your favor.
San Diego has 9 goals in 3 home games and looks sharp early this season, but DeMay says this is exactly the kind of matchup this group wants. There will be moments where City has to defend, moments where they have to press, and moments to capitalize in the final third. The message is simple. Stick to the model, trust the work from preseason, and go compete. With the City Spotlight, I'm Jen Cease, KMOX Sports.
Thank you very much, Jen. A 1-1 draw with Charlotte in their last game, and now at San Diego tonight at 8:15. On Y98 FM. There's so much happening. The Blues play today at Minnesota, 4 o'clock face-off for them. NASCAR about to get underway at Circuit of the Americas in Austin. We're going to go there next with Chris Blair, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway, who has 100 days until his IndyCar race at that track. He has a NASCAR Cup race at that track. NHRA, the only venue in the world that has all three. And that, again, will be happening in 2026. Chris Blair in Austin, Texas, talking about his St. Louis track, Madison, Illinois, Worldwide Technology Raceway. When we come back, it's sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. Back on the show with producer Drew Young, I'm Tom Ackerman. It is Cardinal baseball coming your way at 11:55 this morning. The Cardinals and the Pirates from Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. Right now, we're going to head to Circuit of the Americas, Austin, Texas, NASCAR's first road race of 2026. And we're joined by the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway in Madison, Illinois. Chris Blair is with us. How are you, Chris?
I am absolutely wonderful, Tom, because it's sunny and it's March and you're talking about baseball and I'm at a race.
So I absolutely love it. Oh, that's awesome. You know, Shane Van Gisbergen, he is the road course dynamo on this NASCAR circuit. Everybody expecting it. Oh, wait a minute. Tyler Reddick in the pole position. What is with this guy? He's now going for a record. He could be the first driver to win the first three races of a NASCAR Cup season.
Well, and that's what amazed me. I wasn't expecting that. Then I went back and I was taking a look at some of Tyler's performances here at Circuit of the Americas. And over the course of the new car era since they've been running here, he's like the number one guy in overall lap after lap performance. He's always running at the front. He just really hasn't been able to pull it off here. So, hey, based on the hot streak that he's on and his car owner, Michael Jordan, being one of the luckiest guys on the planet, you know, I'd give him a pretty good shot today. They could do this.
They absolutely could. He won there in 2023.
That's right.
Chris,
okay.
What's going on with 2311 racing just in general? You just alluded to it. He's very fortunate, Michael Jordan, but he's a winner and he's pumped. I mean, this is really a change, not only in what we're seeing in terms of winning here, but, you know, we all know about the lawsuit that happened and a change in NASCAR structure, so to speak.
Well, a big part of this, though, what I'm looking at, it's Tyler Reddick. Tyler is really they're settling in with that team. You know, he had some incredible performances when he was racing over at RCR. And since he's been here with 2311, he's been able to get settled in. You know, he had a tough year last year. He had a son, a baby that was having some health issues. He was a little bit distracted trying to take care of things on the home front. This year, everything's going well, and Tyler is just an amazing racer. And we saw that he grew up in DeCoin, Illinois, racing dirt tracks around our area. And he's always just been a hard racer. I think it's all finally coming together, his experience with that team and all the things that he's been doing. I think this is more or less, Tyler announcing that he's arriving, and his experience and his expertise with these cars, I think, is helping that team. And you see that his teammate Bubba has been running up front. He's been having a hard time closing some of the deals. But it's kind of reminiscent of last year. Christopher Bell won three races in a row early in the season. And I think these Toyotas, they just come out of the box quick. And Tyler's in the right place, right time, good driver. I think it's all coming together for them.
NASCAR back to road racing. Circuit of the Americas today, their first road race of 2026. And Chris Blair is there representing Worldwide Technology Raceway and the St. Louis area. You have your own NASCAR Cup race. That'll be on September 11th weekend. As we look forward to that on September 13th, it's going to be that weekend of the Enjoy Illinois 300, another playoff race for you. And I know that you've run a bunch of these now. You're an experienced GM when it comes to cup races, Chris.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the great things about being here and walking around the garage area, talking to a lot of the folks. They really love coming to St. Louis. They love our racetrack. They love Southern Illinois. They really appreciate what we've been doing. And one of the great things about this, too, Goodyear brought a really good tire to our race last season, and the drivers were able to go places they had never been able to go before on our track. This year, we've got some additional horsepower. They're going to be 750 horsepower. I'm going to actually talk to a couple of the drivers today, trying to figure out a few of the things, what they're seeing. I think after we get through Phoenix and we see what this new setup is going to be like, we're going to have a little better understanding of what it could do for our race, but I think it's going to make the racing even better. And you're hearing about some of that here with this as well, with the additional horsepower they're getting on the road course. It's changing the dynamic of the race. So there's going to be some exciting things going on with our race that weekend.
September 11th, 12th, and 13th at Worldwide Technology Raceway. I do note that September 12th is the Cardinals Hall of Fame enshrinement. And while Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina are on the ballot, you can vote for one every time that you log in, but they will induct as many as two. And it feels like a foregone conclusion that the two are going to go in together the weekend of your race. So I would imagine you're going to have a lot of people milling about in downtown St. Louis and vice versa. That could be one festive weekend if it all comes together.
Well, one of the things that I'm hearing from a lot of my friends who are fans and fans from other areas, a lot of times they're asking us, are the Cardinals at home the weekend of the race? And there's a lot of people that are excited now that they found out about this aspect, with the Hall of Fame inductions. There's a buzz about it because people love to be able to come into the area and do a lot of other things, both on the Illinois side as well as on the St. Louis side. And so this is going to make just an absolutely amazing weekend. There's a lot of concerts in town that week. We have the Confluence Music Festival at the track, Cardinals baseball, NASCAR racing. It's really going to put a spotlight on the whole region that weekend.
I will mention also that one Michael Jeffrey Jordan was at the race last year. Now, he was not in the public eye. This was not blown up in the press or anything. He was privately in and out of there, but he was there. I had a spy spot him with his own eyes.
Well, I think what you're going to see, too, this year we're seeing Michael everywhere. He's out on pit road at Atlanta and in Daytona, when your cars are running up front, you're more likely to get out and be seen. So I'm expecting you'll probably see Michael right there on pit road during our race, walking through the garage area and checking it all out.
Chris, recently you hit the 100-day mark before the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. Your IndyCar race is back at Worldwide Technology Raceway.
Can you believe it's the 10th running of this race time?
Wow.
And you remember what that first one was like. And this year there's even more importance in our race. We are the only race in all of motorsports that's broadcast on network primetime. So Fox Network really believes in what we're doing, what IndyCar is doing. They're part owner of the IndyCar series. And we're going to go green at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night in June, on June 7th. And Fox is really wanting to do some special stuff. I'm meeting with the IndyCar folks next week. We're going to really plan some more things. But there's nothing like a night race. But to have that opportunity to showcase our racetrack and our region and everything that we do and the Bomarito group on Fox primetime, it adds a little bit of pressure to me to make sure we make the show even more spectacular. So we're going to have to blow up some more pyro and maybe bring some drones in. And we're going to do some really fun stuff around the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 for that 10th running.
You know, I've been in a partnership with you and Curtis Francois for a long time, helping you spread the word about your track and serving as an ambassador of sorts. And so as soon as I heard it was a night race, you're the first person I thought of, because I knew your eyes lit up on that one. There's no doubt. The Cardinals are in town, too, by the way, that weekend, June 5th through the 7th, taking on the Reds. So you hit the lottery there as well. So that should be fun. IndyCar weekend. What should we know about tickets? How are they selling? I know that Cup race has sold out in the past.
So Cup ticket sales are going very, very well. Now, as far as the IndyCar race, it is up absolutely incredibly. I mean, it's I think it's something about that night race. I think it's about the overall show that the fans got last year. We are doing extremely well on ticket sales for our IndyCar race. And I think there's just a tremendous buzz about IndyCar. They're opening races today in St. Pete, and a lot of people are excited about that. The series is doing really well. And there's just something magical about racing under the lights, and fans are excited about it. We've seen a lot of people that are, planning a special event weekend around that. So it's doing very well. NASCAR doing well. NHRA is looking really good on advanced ticket sales. It's the 75th anniversary of the NHRA series. So everything's looking really strong for this year. We're doing a big push on our NASCAR ticket promotion right now. So if you buy your tickets during the month of March, or by the end of March, you will receive complimentary on-site parking. So a lot of people, that's more incentive to go ahead and get your tickets now, so you can secure that complimentary parking on-site. And there's also some great offers too as you get ready and for those early bird offers. So if you go to wwtraceway.com, you can check them all out.
Always a good time over there. Chris, have a great time down in Austin, and safe travels back. We'll see you soon.
All right, Tom. Take care.
Great to visit with the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway, Chris Blair, on Sports on a Sunday Morning. When we come back, we'll go to Jupiter, Florida. Chaim Bloom is standing by to join me live to talk about the Ollie Marmol contract extension. Back in a moment, Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Busy day here at KMOX and certainly in Jupiter, Florida. Let's head back there now and talk some baseball.
Now, a St. Louis Cardinals spring training report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting. Composting, growing gardens and making memories. And by Happy Roof. We always create happy endings on the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
And joining us live is Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom from Jupiter, where the Cardinals take on the Pirates today for a 12:05 start. Hello, Chaim.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Busy day for you. Big news day today as Ollie Marmol receives a two-year contract extension. It'll start next year. There's a club option for 29. How long has this been in the works, Chaim?
A good while, actually. Obviously, spring training sometimes is extension season, but this is something fairly early in the offseason, just working with Ollie. From my seat, that this is something that made sense organizationally. Obviously, we had some other business we had to take care of throughout the offseason, so we were able to come together and get it done now. But you know, we've been talking about this for a little while.
And this happened a couple of years ago. I remember sitting down for lunch, got the alert that there's going to be a press conference to announce an Ollie extension. That was in 24. That was under a different president of baseball operations in John Mozeliak. So you've had 2 years to observe, to follow. What did you observe over that time that led you to this decision?
Yeah, bottom line, I've enjoyed working with him. It was great to be able to get to know him during that time when I was in the advisory role, and obviously only been a few short months working with him in this seat, but it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it's nice to have had the chance to get to know him and see him from that other chair and just understand what makes him tick. Obviously wanted to stay out of his way and not make life confusing for him when I was in the advisory role, but just to understand him as a person and as a baseball person, get to know him was really helpful. And, you know, you have someone here who, look, this is going to be his 20th season with the Cardinals. So he understands what this organization is about, what separates it, what has separated it historically. But also with that, understanding that what needs to separate this organization, what always has, is us leading the way and us setting the standard. And that involves growing and changing and pushing forward. And he's committed to that. He and I have found a lot of alignment in terms of understanding, look, I've said it before, we're not where we want to be. To get there, there's some things that we're going to need to do. We have a lot of alignment on what we need to do to get there. And then I think the other thing that I would point to is, you know, we talk a lot about growth and change, and it's something that you want from every person in the organization. We're going to beat the competition if we can learn and grow and adapt and evolve better and faster than they do. But to do that as an organization, that's going to require the people in the organization to be willing to push themselves and to look in the mirror and be willing to grow and not think of themselves as static, but think of themselves as constantly moving forward and constantly trying to get better. And he exemplifies that on a daily basis, and that's made it a lot of fun to work with him.
I was going to ask you that. You've done a really nice job on this show of taking us behind the curtain. Let us in on how involved he is on what's happening in the front office, what's happening in the minor league system. You mentioned on a daily basis, obviously he's got a lot to look over, but how is he involved organizationally with you?
Well, in that seat, I think he should be involved. I've tried to bring him into a lot of the things that we've been doing. A big part of what we're trying to build here is just a top-to-bottom consistency, knowing, again, this organization always wins. As you've heard me say many times, we win with our own players, and we win with the players that we grow. And that's going to be easier to do if we have that feeling top-to-bottom. And honestly, this organization has cultivated that culturally for a long time. So we have to keep feeding that and updating it. And so as I, over the past year plus, got a chance to start, you know, making some changes and hopefully trying to spur some progress in player development, I wanted him as a part of that. I wanted his insight. I wanted him to know what we were doing. And then that's made it more natural now. Some of the things that we were able to do, in some cases through trial and error, in some cases through some new voices, new faces, some of the things we were trying to do in player development, allowing us to be more focused and more purposeful in helping every individual player. Well, now we're adapting some of that to our big league environment and building processes there to do some of the things that we did down below last year and building them in a way that's going to be functional in the big leagues. And having him involved in that last year is now making it very natural to scale these up to our big league environment. And he's been an awesome partner in that.
He is going to be 40 on July 2nd. So he's still a very young manager, but no longer the youngest manager in baseball. But he's been at this for a while now. I mean, if you look at not only has he been a big league manager at 22, but he's been part of the big league staff since, what, 19, eight, maybe before that?
Before that, I think.
And then, of course,
back here, but
yeah, managing the minors. Before that, a player in the big. This guy's been a Cardinal for 20 years.
Yes, this is season number 20. It was a 2007 draft. I'm slightly older than him, old enough to remember when he was in the draft. Coming out of College of Charleston. So, you know, obviously, I have the benefit of this as well, that it's a blessing to still be someone who at least some people might call relatively young, not my kids, but some people, and have had a lot under your belt in this game. You earn that, I think, by, you know, obviously good fortune and also some hard work and getting some of those opportunities and to be the type of guy that is a player. The organization recognizes that when this guy's playing career is done, we got to keep him in our uniform. We got to get him coaching. And then when you start out as a coach, to be someone that the organization wants to empower as a manager, and then so on as a big league coach and then ultimately as a big league manager. You know, you just earn that by how you go about your business.
One more question about Ollie, and this is a personality question, but what is he like? And my observation of him is he's very open and honest. I feel whether we're talking on or off the record, an honesty from him in that he recognizes his own growth as a manager. How far has he grown, and how does that communication happen between the two of you?
Yeah, well, first of all, we wouldn't have done this if I didn't feel like we had an open and honest relationship. I think that's so critical. You have to be able to tell the truth to each other. And, you know, if you have that, a lot of great things are possible. If you don't have it, you really have nothing. And it's going to hold the whole organization back. And that's something I really value. It's something, you know, as we've talked about, I'm trying to bring that obviously to our fans, but I'm also trying to bring it to every interaction I have within the organization. We will move faster the more we can tell the truth to each other. And that's something that I know Ollie believes and has emphasized. And it's a critical part of what we do. And, you know, you talk about that growth. Look, I haven't been here for the entirety of Ollie's tenure in that seat. But even just talking to him, talking to other people about him, knowing some of the things, good and bad, that went on in his first couple of years, and then getting to see the last couple, again, none of us is going to benefit. It's not, I don't think this is something where, hey, some people are really good and they don't have to grow and the rest of us do. No, that's not how this game works. It's too competitive for that. We all have to be able to look in the mirror. Sometimes the hardest direct conversations to have are the ones with yourself. And so if you can be honest with yourself on, hey, I need to get better at this, I'd like to grow here. Everybody has to do that, especially when you're in a leadership role really young. He knows that and he takes that seriously. And so those are the types of people and the types of personalities you want to bet on, because you know they're going to push themselves to be great.
We have gone down a road where Cardinals fans, Cardinals observers just overall have not been, maybe ever. I mean, I'm not sure I ever in my lifetime remember being at this stage of the game where you're rebuilding this franchise and getting it back. But while this is happening, you are seeing a load of prospects, a load of young players who are all on the same playing field, if that makes sense, so the same level as they grow together. I don't want to get too excited about one over the other, but I've got to say, J.J. Weatherholt has lived up to everything that I hoped he would be right out of the gate. I mean, you're going to have to hold me back on this and tell me a couple of things that he's not doing well so that I can be a little more balanced on J.J. Weatherholt.
Well, do you want me to?
But yeah.
You know, first of all, he's an impressive guy. We know that. I'll tell you what, we talked about some of the things we were wanting to challenge him with in terms of how he's moving around, in terms of defense. In the first two games he played, in each of those games, the baseball gods were kind enough to give him a tough backhand play, which is something that he's working on, and he didn't complete either play. And, you know, that's going to happen. It's part of the game. Give some credit to the baseball gods for, they could say the ball finds you, and it did. And so then you say, okay, you know, he comes into this camp with a different set of expectations. Last year was more of a happy to be here type thing. Now, obviously, he's on the cusp. How does he respond? And he went to work, and he's been working there with Stubby and looking to attack this and take it as motivation that, okay, the standard at this level is higher than that, and I got to put in the work to make sure I can be up to that standard. And it's what you want to see. You talk about where we are with all these young players. It is kind of cool. It's neat to see them see the opportunity to make this what it is going to be, understand the power that they have to shape this and to create their version of what that standard is. And that's not, you know, that's not something that's always going to be linear. We know that. But despite the youth, despite, you know, our whatever we want to talk about, which obviously, you know, I'm committed to it in terms of our long-term focus here, that is not the vibe that I've felt here day to day. I have not felt that standard slip. I felt a group that does not want to limit itself, that's willing to put in the work, that's getting after it, and that wants to define itself rather than let other people define them. And that's exactly what we're hoping to see in this camp.
One last thing, because I haven't asked you a pitching question yet, and I want to make sure that I do that. How are you seeing this rotation battle right now in terms of the five going into the season?
Yeah, it's been cool to watch. And you know, I think I've said it before on this show, like you don't want to put too much stock in the spring training results, because you will make some bad decisions by doing that. This is a really small slice of things. At the same time, it's been really encouraging overall what we've seen coming out of the staff. Obviously, it's still early. It's March 1st, right? But it has been fun to watch these guys go about their business, fun to watch them push each other. And as a group, I have pretty fun to see the ball coming out of their hand and, you know, the stuff that they're bringing to the party. It's been neat. There's been a lot of comments on that around camp and fun to watch on a daily basis. We're just hopeful that continues as we work towards making those tough decisions and getting ramped up for the season.
I look forward to seeing it myself. I'll be down there Saturday. Looking forward to catching up with you, Haim. Thank you for the time.
It'd be nice to see you.
Same. Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Haim Bloom. Good breakdown there as we get closer and closer to Cardinal baseball. They play at 12:05. We're going to take a quick break, wrap up the show right after this.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, just a few minutes to go before we turn things over to Cardinal baseball. We'll take a break at 11:50 and get you set up for the 11:55 pregame. Our outstanding crew down there, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, Mike Claiborne, and Ryan Schulte at the controls getting ready for the Cardinals and the Pirates. The Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Pirates at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. Kyle Leahy is the starting pitcher today for the Cardinals. And the Cardinals lineup looks like this. Ivan Herrera is going to lead off, and he will be Leahy's catcher. You ready for that? Leahy to Herrera today, and he will bat leadoff and play catcher. Why is he leading off? Because they want to get him as many at-bats as possible. That's why they do that. He's not a leadoff hitter. Mason Wynn's going to be your leadoff hitter. Remember how much abuse I took from the guys about Mason Wynn as a leadoff hitter? I guess he wasn't ready then, but he's ready now. Ramon Urias is the third baseman today. He's batting second. Urias is not Nolan Arenado at third, but he looks pretty darn close to me based on some of the highlights that we've seen through the years. He's a gold glove third baseman, and he's going to be playing third today and batting second. Nolan Gorman, who hit a bomb last week, is your DH. He bats third, and then Jordan Walker is in right batting fourth. Jose Fermin at second base batting fifth. Joel Pozo back at first base sixth. Nathan Church in center field seventh. Chase Davis is in the outfield today. He bats eighth. He's the left fielder. And the shortstop today is Jeremy Rivas, and taking on this Pittsburgh Pirates outfit with Kyle Leahy. Just a couple of quick comments, about 90 seconds left here, about the fan reaction, because I see all your comments. I mean, I look at them all, and there's a lot of comments here. You know, there's the positives, like from Lauren, and then there's the negatives, like from Brasher. Then there's Lauren, and then there's, you know, these comments like Bus Blake saying the comments are abysmal. Ollie's our guy. He's the perfect skipper for our current regime. I'm not going to say, I mean, look, there's fans like KT, who's been tough on him, says it's a joke. There's people like David who say it's a great move. I mean, you've got back and forth. My point is this: commenters feel strongly about what they're doing. You know, I mean, Bill doesn't want to spend the money to come down, but other people think that things are going well. So take comments for what they are. People are very confident when they type in their phone or on a computer how they feel. And some people feel like this is good, and some people feel like this is bad. There are a lot of people in the middle. And that's an okay place to be, too. Because you're a baseball fan, you're going to sit back, you're going to watch this thing develop, and you're going to have to put your trust in Haim Bloom that he knows what he's doing. Extension for Ollie. Cardinal baseball is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.